Good morning, Rabosai. Our learning this morning is dedicated by Avram and Shane D. Kelman in commemoration of the archetype of Shane D.'s father, Yishai Yosef Ben Yosef, Horn Levracha, as well as by the Esterson family in commemoration of the archetype of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Lee Ben Aaron Cohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Basanach Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our time and Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a Nechama. All right, so we'll say with that, another beautiful daf out of us today. Today's daf is Kuf Aleph 101. We are picking up on daf Kuf Amud Beis 100b, and we're picking up four lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we were discussing the statement of Shmuel. Well, we're discussing the Mishnah. And the Mishnah made the statement that Menachos, if they become Tameh, Menachos and Nesachim, if they became Tameh before they were consecrated in a Kli Sharis, they have the ability to be redeemed. Shmuel comes along and says, by the way, it's not a function of Tumah. Essentially, any Mincha or any of the Nesachim, which before they are placed in a Kli Sharis, are redeemable. That's the idea. Before they're placed in a Kli Sharis, ultimately, again, can be redeemed. So says the Gemara, we'll say four lines up from the bottom. So the Shita Mikubetzas ultimately changes the gears of this next line. And the Shita Mikubetzas changes it to read, Mishikachu, or Mishikichu Mikli, Einlem Pigyom. We'll say once the Menachos or the Nesachim are consecrated in the Klishares, they no longer can be redeemed. To which the Gemara says, Pshita. That's obvious. Kiddusha Sagof Ninu. Let's remember again, one of the points you made of the Mishnah yesterday is that there are effectively two different types of sanctity. There's what's called Kiddushas Damim and Kiddusha Sagof. Financial sanctity versus physical sanctity. Anything which produces, which has, or which maintains, which possesses Kiddushas Damim, monetary sanctity, could be redeemed. Anything which possesses Kiddushas Sagof, for our purposes right now, cannot. But so the Gemara says, obviously, if before the Menachos or the Nesachim were placed in the Klisharis, of course they could be redeemed. Why? Because they only possess financial sanctity, Kedushas Domim. And right, Pshita, Kedushas Aguf Ninu. I'm sorry. Once they are placed in the Klisharis, they cannot be redeemed. Why not? Because Kedushas Aguf Ninu. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why this is necessary. It's Drich. Sakadait Chamina Hoilu Ba'amum Ikritame. So we'll say, I'm going to throw it as follows. The Baal Mum, right, the animal which possesses a mum, is also called Tame. We'll see where that is later on. Tame Nami, Kebaal Mum Dami. And therefore, we'll say, I would have thought that we could equate the halachos of Tame and Baal Mum. How so? So, and it comes, right? So, Tame Nami, Kebaal Mum Dami, Va'afagav, the Kadosh Kedusha Saguf, Kinafo Be Mum, Mifrak, Sirabos, when it comes to a Baal Mum, even if the carbon has Kedusha Saguf, it can still be redeemed. Hani Nami Lifrok. Therefore, based on this comparison, I would have said that when something becomes Tame, it could also be redeemed, even if what? Even if it was sanctified in the Klisharis. Kamash Malon, Delav Ki Hai Tame Karya Rahmana Labamum. Ultimately, again, says the Gemara, no, therefore, Kamash Malon, the comparison between Tame and Balmum does not extend this far. Even though a Balmum could be redeemed, even after it possesses Kedusha Saguf, and even though a Tame is compared to Balmum, so once a Tame has been sanctified in a Klisharis, ultimately, again, it cannot be redeemed. In other words, the comparison between Tame and Balmum does not allow you to deconsecrate it once it's been consecrated in a Klisharis. Top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Miklisharis lo Ashkechan de Mifrik. Because ultimately, again, once an item has been consecrated within a Klisharis, ultimately, again, it cannot be redeemed. Ubalmum. Hecha Ikri Tame. Rabbi say, where do we see that a Baal Mum ultimately again is compared or is called Tame? In other words, where do we see that comparison? So say, so by the way, just before we go on, so the point that the Gemara is making over here, based on where we're holding right now, is that once an item has been consecrated in a Kli Sharis, it is no longer redeemable. That seems to be where the Gemara is holding right now. The point of contention we're going to see is Shmuel's statement as to whether or not something prior to its consecration in a Kli Sharis, can it be redeemed even in a state of Tara, or is it only in a state of Tumah? So that point we're going to go ahead and clear just a little bit. But for our purposes right now, it seems to be clear that once an item is consecrated in a Klisharis, it is no longer subject to Pigyon. you cannot go ahead and redeem it. So Rabbi Sanhedrin more just clarifies the secondary point. Where do we see that a balmum is called a tamei? The sanya, because we're in a braisa. Ve'im kol behema tamei, asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban la'Hashem. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, if any behema tamei, that she will not offer up for it a karban to Hashem. To which the Gemara says, Babali woman sheniftin akasum endaber. The subject over here, Bosse, when the Torah speaks about a behema tamei, is actually talking about a behema which is a balmum, which can be redeemed. So the Gemara says, Atom Babali woman sheniftu. Oh, eino ella behema tamei mamish. So how do you know the pasuk is talking about Bali mumin sheniftu? Maybe it's talking about a behema tamei mamish. Kishu umer vim behema hatmeya upada be'erkicha. So we'll say, so the pasuk says in a different pasuk, ubehema tamei vim behema hatmeya upada be'erkicha kesef v'yosif chamishi so'alav. So we'll say that pasuk hari behema tamei amura. That pasuk is explicitly talking about a behema tamei. Ha ma'ani mekayim vim kol behema tamei. So I'll say, what do I assume that the pasuk is referring to when it said earlier vim kol behema tamei? Beba'ali mumin sheniftu akasov medaber. So I'll say, I assume that that is talking about what? Ba'ali mumin, which were redeemed. To which the Gemara says, Beba'ali mumin sheniftu akasov medaber. Yachol yiftu ab mum over. I might have thought that I could redeem a behema with a mum, even if it's a mum over. I will say a mum over is a passing mum, i.e. a mum which presently goes ahead and invalidates the animal, but from which the animal will heal from naturally. And once the animal heals, the animal once again becomes fit. So this is actually very interesting. I might have thought that I could go ahead and redeem an animal based on its mum, even if it's a mum over, to which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban la'Hashem. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, what type of balmum is redeemable? Only the type of balmum which would permanently invalidate the animal from offering. Misha in a kreva la'Hashem kol ikr. So we'll say the only type of balmum animal that you have the ability to redeem is an animal that is permanently invalidated as a result of its mum. So the Gemara says, Yotzazu shena kreva hayom. This comes to exclude, Rabbi say what? The case of an animal which cannot be redeemed, which cannot be offered today, but can be offered tomorrow. That type of animal, Rabbi say, cannot be redeemed based on its mum. So this is actually very interesting halacha, that even though we establish that an animal which is a bal mum has the ability to be redeemed based on its mum, that is only what? That is only for a permanent blemish. But a mum over, which will say a passing mum, i.e. a mum, a disqualification, which will heal naturally. So the halacha is that an animal is not redeemable based on that mum. Actually, incredible halacha. So Mosif Rafuna Bar Menach. So we'll say, Rafuna Bar Menach now comes to argue. Now, he's not arguing on the Baal Mum piece. He's arguing on Shmuel. So remember again, Shmuel comes along. Shmuel said before, in the opening statement of the Gemara, that's what? Shmuel says that you have the ability to redeem even a tahar mincha or nesachim, as long as what? It has not yet been placed in the klishari. So we'll say very important halacha. The Mishnah said that if you have menachos or nesachim, which become tameh, you have the ability to redeem them before they are placed in the klisharis. That was the Mishnah statement. Shmuel came along and said, you could redeem them even if what? Even if what? Even if they're not tamei. So you will say, according to Shmuel, the operative piece over here is not whether or not the menachos or the nesachim are tameim. What's the important part over here? The important part is, have they been placed in a klisharis or not? As long as the mincha or the nesach has not yet been placed in a klisharis, then what? Then what? You can be potent, you can redeem it, even if it's tahar. That was Shmuel's contribution so far. It's that as long as it has not yet been placed in a klisharis, even if it's tahar, it could still be redeemed. Good. Comes along Rav Huna Bar Menach and argues on this. Watch this. It was a very interesting discussion. Moser Rav Huna Bar Menach, ha'ofos v'ha'itzim v'ha'lavono klisharis shenitmu inlan pidyon. So Rav Huna Bar Menach comes along and says as follows. If you have bird offerings, ofos, birds, eitzim is wood, levona, frankincense, klisharis is a service utensil, any of these items, shenitmu, which have become ritually impure, what's the halacha? Ein lehem pinyon. Rabbi say, you cannot redeem them. You cannot redeem them. Why not? Shalom ne'emar pigyon ela bebehema. Because we'll say the notion of pigyon, the notion of redeeming something. What does redemption mean? Redemption means that you transfer the sanctity onto the money. The money becomes kadosh, right? Therefore used for something sacrificial. And what happens to the object? Object becomes chulin, right? Becomes unconsecrated. So we'll say, Sfafuna Bar Manoach says that the concept of pigyon was only said by behema, was not said by other items. Says the Gemara Bishlama Ofos, So I understand why you can't redeem birds, because birds, like animals, like behemoths, also have kiddusha saguf, and the notion of kiddusha saguf being redeemed was only a concept stated by behema. Doesn't apply to ofos. So we'll just call it a gzeres hakasev. I understand that. Right. Therefore, again, however, ela itzim ulevono klishares lifriku. I don't understand, why can't the wood, now when we speak about wood, bepashtos, this is the wood ultimately again that is used on the Mizbeach, Levona is the frankincense, klisharis, why can't those items be redeemed? Or as we'll say, what prevents them from being redeemed? Elalav, mishum de tahorin ba'alma, ein niftin. Rather, I will say, what you have to say is because in general, items which are tahor cannot be redeemed. Vahani nami abagav dinitmu kitahorim dami. And it must be that these items, even when they become tameh, have the status of something which is tahar, and therefore again are prevented ultimately again from being redeemed. So you will say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here, this is the kasha ultimately again on Shmuel. What this is saying is that the only time I will say you have the ability to redeem things is when, what's actually very interesting. What is the whole yisod of pigyon? See, this is really getting down to the kishkas as to what pigyon is. What's redemption? Is redemption just simply a mechanism that allows for a transference of kiddusha from an object to money, and you can use it pretty much whenever you want? Or is pigyon a mechanism that is only activated in a situation of need? What's an example of a situation of need of Osai? For example, tuma, right? Right? Meaning, what you would do is, by tuma, you would transfer the sanctity ultimately onto the money, thereby freeing the item ultimately of its sanctity, freeing it to be used for something chulin, because it can't be used for something sacrificial. So I will say, so this is getting to the core. So Shmuel seemed to say, you could activate pidyon whenever you want. See, even if you have nesachim, even if you have menachos, ultimately, again, that are totally tar, you could transfer their sanctity onto money, and ultimately, again, make the menachos and the nesachim into what? Into something chulin. Rav Chunah Bar Manoach says no. We'll say ultimately again, pigyon is only something that is activated when the object is tameh. But it could very well be that these items like etzim, levona, klisharis always have the status of quote unquote tahar items, and tahar items can never be redeemed. The etzim levona lav bnei ashvuyin ochlaninhu. So we'll say because remember etzim and levona never have the status of anything consumable. Right, so because they never have the status of something, elo chibas hekdish mashilu uchla. But I will say ultimately, what do you call chibas hekdish? If you look at Rashi, eitzim ulevona lav bnei kabuli tumaninu elo mishum chibas hakodesh dechseva basal rabos eitzim ulevona. So I will say, really, wood and levona should never be receptive to tuma. It's only because they can become consecrated that they have the ability to be mekabel tuma. Kama delo mashpiluhu legzirin. Lo miskashri. So we'll say, as long as the wood has not yet been literally shaved off to be pieces of her for the mizbeach. We'll say on the mizbeach itself, you don't just throw any piece of wood on the mizbeach. Rather, again, you have to shave it down to certain dimensions. So as long as that wood has ultimately, again, not been shaved down to those dimensions, it's not mekabel tuma. Levona. Nami kama delo kidsha bekli sharis lo miskashra. So levona, same thing. Rabbi will say, as long as the levona has not yet been put into a kli sharis, which for the levona are the bazichar, the actual spoons as to which it's put in. Nami hov isli tara. So I'm sorry. Levona nami kama delo kidsha bekli sharis lo miskashra. Klisharis nami hob islu tara b'mikva. So ultimately, klisharis also is not going to be makabel tuma. Why? Because it has the ability ultimately to what? Or I should say, it's not redeemable. because it has the ability to be kashered in a mikvah. So we'll say, so all of this is Rav Huna Barman, or it really is Rav Huna Barmanach's kasha and Shmuel. Shmuel, you wanted to say that even items in a state of Tara have the ability to be redeemed. Rav Huna Barmanach brings these cases to show that that in fact is not true. To which the Gemara says, lo. Liolam emelecha tohorn ba'alma niftin. I can say that no, Shmuel is correct. And even items, when they are in a state of Tara, can in fact be redeemed. So Rav says, so what's happening over here in these cases, in these situations that Rav Huna Bar Manoach quoted, of Ofos, Eitzim, Levona, Klisharis, where even again Rav says, if what, Shenitmu, Einlan Pidyon, to which the Vahani, Mishum Delo Shechihu. Rav says, these cases are different. These cases, ultimately, again, of Ofos, Eitzim, Levona, Klisharis, are what we call, Rav says, Lo Shechihi cases, uncommon cases. What's Lo Shechihi? About to look at Rashi, Rav says, Mishum Delo Shechihi, the havilu pidyon, so we'll say lo shchichi in this case actually means that these are items which are hard to come by. These are items which are hard to come by. So this is actually amazing. Because they are items which are hard to come by, therefore what? We do not want you redeeming them. We'll say, why don't we want you redeeming them? It's actually quite fascinating. Why don't we want you redeeming them? Because we're afraid that if we allow you to redeem them, then what does that do? That transfers the sanctity onto the money, makes the actual objects chulin, and we are concerned that we will be unable to find suitable replacements for these items. So because it is hard to come by these particular items, the rabbi stepped in and the rabbi said, what? You cannot redeem them. You cannot redeem them. Look at Rashi. Mishum b'lo shrichi, v'yahavilu pidjon, if we allow you to go ahead and redeem these items, tahorin, in a state of tara, parik lohu lechulin, you're going to redeem them, they're going to become chulin. V'sulo mishkechi gizbarin midi achrin letzarech ha'avoda. And ultimately, again, the gizbarin, the temple treasures, will be unable to find suitable replacements. We'll say, this is actually amazing. Rav Huna Bar Manoach quoted this list of ofos itzim levonin klisharis. And he wanted to use it as a raya against Shmuel, to say that you see, you cannot redeem things in a state of Tara. You cannot redeem things in a state of Tara. Therefore, I will say, comes along the Gemara and says, no. It's true you cannot redeem these things, but for a dramatically different purpose. You can't redeem these things. Why? Because they're uncommon. And we're afraid that if we allow you to redeem them, you may not find suitable replacements. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Bishtama Levona, Okli, Sharis, Lo Shechichi. So I understand why Levona. Right, there was a good, pure frankincense, apparently was hard to come by. Kli sharis, I will say again, kli sharis, depending what type of kli sharis it is, could be very expensive. I understand why those items might be lo shrichi. However, again, ela itzim, mishkach shrichi, will say, why would you say that wood is hard to come by? Or is he going to tell me, I can't redeem wood, because what are we afraid of? We're afraid that if we allow you to redeem the wood, then what's going to happen, Rabbi Sai? You're not going to find other suitable wood. Wood is common, right? Wood is wood, right? Wood is common and accessible everywhere. Eitzim nami. We'll say sacrificial wood is also hard to come by. Why? The chayvan damar mar called eitz shenim sabot tola as posel legabi mizbeach hilchalo shrichi. Rabbi Sai Ismar said that what? Any piece of wood, Rabbi Sai, which you find what? A worm. Any piece of wood in which you find a worm, even one worm, ultimately invalidates the wood for sacrificial purposes. Therefore, Rabbi Sai, it's not easy to come by sacrificial wood. Therefore, again, Rabbi Sai, wood for the Mizbeach is considered to be lo shchichi. Amar Papa. So Rabbi Sai, so again, so therefore it turns out that Rav Huna Bar Manoach's kasha and Shmuel was in fact not a kasha. And Shmuel's statement still stands, that it appears that you have the ability to go ahead and be poda, menochos and nesachim, as long as what? As long as what? They have not yet been placed in the klisharis. Even if they're tar, you could redeem them. What about the list that Rav Huna Bar Manoach brought? We'll say, apparently those items are not redeemable, midrabanan. Why? Because they're lo shchichi. Because they're more uncommon, more unique, more expensive. And Chazal were concerned that if we allow you to redeem them, you may not find suitable replacements. Amud Papa, Yishmiel Le Shmuel Had Disanya. So we'll say, the Papa comes along and says as follows: if Shmuel would have heard the following brisa, he might have had a different opinion. We'll say, what's the brisa? Disanya, Hamat Bistimim Lebed the Kabayis. We'll say, if a person goes ahead and brings animals, right? Mat Pistin Rabbo Sein literally means a person consecrates animals, lebedek habayis. Rabbo Sein, bedek habayis means temple upkeep. So I can go ahead and pledge something, lebedek habayis. What happens when you pledge something, lebedek habayis? Essentially, again, the item has what we call kedushas damim. It has financial sanctity. Financial sanctity, not physical sanctity, financial sanctity. So Mat Pistin lebedek habayis, we'll say in this case, I'm doing something very interesting. I am pledging animals for bedek habayis. So we'll say, what happens over here is, not for carbonic purposes. So these are not carbonos. I'm pledging, and I'm giving livestock to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so those animals take on a financial sanctity. Ein poldin osan elo mizbeach. So we'll say, you can only redeem those animals for sacrificial use. Rashi says, sheimachru l'tzarchei kama. So we'll say, which means what? So let's play this out. I take my sheep. I pledge it lebedek habayis. So what does Beis HaMikdash do with that sheep? They sell the sheep, Rabbi will say, but for what? For what? For sacrificial purposes, and then use that money for temple upkeep. That animal may not be sold for mundane purposes, even though what? Even though what? It only has kedushas damim, not kedushas haguf. Shekhalarai le mizbeach, and yotzi mide mizbeach li olam. Because we'll say something that is fit for the mizbeach cannot be used for something other than the mizbeach forever. Now, what's the clincher? Va'af agav di kedushas damim ninhu ein niftin hoil utahorim heim haba. So we'll say, listen to this. Because why? Because since that animal belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, i.e., it has kedushas damim and it's tahor, it's technically fit for sacrificial use. It cannot be redeemed for something mundane. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash takes the animal, sells it essentially to someone who needs to bring a carbon, and uses that money ultimately again for bedek habayis. Rebbe say, what do you see from here? You see from here that something which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, even if it only has kedushas damim, cannot be redeemed for chulin purposes. Rebbe say, whose opinion does this contradict? None other than Shmuel. Because Shmuel told us in the beginning of Kuf Amud Beis that what? That if you have Menachos and Nisachim, which I will say, have not yet been put in a Kli Sharis, Shmuel suggested that you could redeem it even for Chulin purposes. Here we're seeing that once something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's only Kedushas Damim, you may not go ahead and use it for Chulin. B'vaharaya, even those animals which are pledged for Bet HaKabayis can be sold, but only can be sold ultimately again for sacrificial purposes, to which the Gemara says, Haderbe. Enoch Inami Shmuel retracted his opinion. He changed his mind. The Gemara says, Velohi, it's not true. Shmuel Velo Haderbe. It's not true. We'll say, Shmuel knew this price, and he still didn't change his mind. Lav Amrit Hasam, did we not say over there, Kevan Deshchichi Mumin, the Pasli Bebehema, Afilu Bedukin Shabai Nami Pasli, Hilchach Lo Shchichi. We'll say, Kishmuel, we'll say, back to what we just saw in the previous Sugya of Rav Huna Bar Manuach, which is what Rabbi Osai is. Sacrificial animal, Rabbi Osai, is considered to be something lo shchichi, uncommon. Rabbi Osai, why is a sacrificial animal considered to be something uncommon? Because Rabbi Osai, so many things invalidate an animal for sacrificial purposes. Afilu b'dukisha, Rabbi Osai, b'dukisha means like a, literally like a cataract or a cut in the eye. Something so minor would invalidate that animal. Therefore, if you find an animal which is fit for sacrificial purposes, what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? That is considered to be an item that is lo shchichi. Even Shmuel agrees that with items that are hard to come by, you may not go ahead and redeem them. But this brisa is not iray against the position of Shmuel. Rav Kana says, Amar, Tzmeyin Niftin, Torin Ein Niftin. So we'll say, Rav Kana does argue on Shmuel. So we'll say now another opinion. Rav Kana says, when can you redeem the Menachos and the Nesachim before they've been placed in the Kli Sharis? That's only if what? That's only if they are Tamei, they can be redeemed, but not if they are Tahar. V'chinu Rav Oshia, Tamei and Niftin, Torin Ein Niftin. Rav Oshia says the same thing. Ikedan, Rav Oshia, others have an alternate version. Am Rav Oshia, Afilu Tahor and Niftin. So Rav Oshia, in this version, Rav Oshia said, even if they are Tahar, they can be Poed, they can be redeemed. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kulan, Tamei and Niftin, Tahorin Ein Niftin. Rav Oshia, Rav Oshia makes a general statement. Any item, Rav Oshia, can only be redeemed if it is Tamei, but if it is Tahar, you cannot redeem it, even if what? Even if what? It has not yet been placed in the Kli Sharis. Chutz me'asiris ha'efa shal minchas chote. What's with one exception? The one exception, Rabbi says, is the asiris ha'efa of the sin offering of a mincha. That's when a mincha ultimately again is brought as a sin offering. That mincha, that asira saifa, can be redeemed even if it is tahor. Shahari amra Torah mechatoso al chatoso. So we'll say Rashi goes through this drasha a bit more, but essentially a mechatoso al chatoso, that they're not, that there are certain, the drasha essentially is that there are certain chatos offerings which can be redeemed even in a state of tara, and that particular chatos offering is the asira saif of the mincha schote. Okay, amra boshia shamati pigul b'mincha l'Rabbi Shimon. So also Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, I have heard that pigul b'mincha, that I will say ultimately again, if the mincha itself becomes pigul, so that does not become, pigul b'mincha l'Rabbi Shimon eino matami tumas ochlin. The Rabbi say, if the mincha becomes pigul, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't become tamei. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. The Rabbi Shimon, d'amar l'kaman kala aser ba'ana eino matami tumas ochlin. So we're going to see Rabbi Shimon's opinion in just a moment. But Rabbi Shimon is the opinion who says that anything that is aser ba'ana does not contract tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, disnan. Here we go. Here's the Mishnah. Ha'arla uklayakarim. So we'll say arla, which refers to fruit of the first 3 years, klaya kerem, which means forbidden growths within a vineyard, amadeis, v'shur ha'nisko, we'll say shur ha'nisko is a shur that is going to be stoned, because it is a goring shur, right? So Rashi says over here, the case by shur ha'nisko that we're dealing with is, sheshachto la'achar shenigmar dino. So we'll say, this is talking about a shur that was already condemned to die, but it was shechted before it was actually executed. Egla rufa, tzipore mitzora. So we'll say egla rufa is the decapitated calf. Ultimately, again, when you find the dead body between two cities, the elders of the closest city come. Now we'll say all these, can we see decapitated calf? It was the calf that was designated to be decapitated, but was shechted before the actual process and procedure was carried out. Upeter chamor, firstborn donkey, it will say that was going to have its neck broken, but ultimately again was shechted before the neck was broken. Ubasar b'chalav and basar b'chalav, kulam mitamin tumas ochlin. We'll say all of these items have the ability to contract tumas ochlin. Rishon Shimon says kulan ein mitamin tumas ochlin. Rishon Shimon says no, not true. None of these items have the ability to be mitami tumas ochlin. Rabbi say, now the logic, Rashi already said this, Rav Shimon's logic, we're going to see it spelled out in just a moment, but Rav Shimon's logic is, any food item which is aser ba'ana cannot become tamei tumas ochlin. Become the namni Rabbi say, all of these items that are mentioned is, they're all aser ba'ana. Because they're aser ba'ana, therefore again, they cannot contract tumas ochlin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro. Umodir Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon comes along and says, Umodir Rav Shimon Basar B'chalav, Shematame Tumas Ochlin. Rav Shimon says that Basar B'chalav, Rav Osei, does become Tame Tumas Ochlin. Why? Hoyo V'hai Solo Shasa Kosher. Ultimately, again, because there was a time when the Basar B'chalav was permitted. Look at Rashi, Rav Osei, Basar B'chalav, Hoyo V'hai Solo Shasa Kosher, Ditoru Le Kula Yoma B'chalba, Lo Mr. Ashiz Basar. Rav Osei, what does this mean? Basar B'chalav had a time when it was permitted. When was it permitted, Rav Osei? That if you were to go ahead, see, presumably, before you cook the meat and the milk together, what do you have to do? You have to put the meat in the milk. Well, see, what happens when you put meat in milk? What happens? You let it soak there? No, it tastes good, thank you. Right? What happens when you put it in there? Well, say, the halacha is nothing. Well, say, actually, it's coming attractions. Chulin. You know, I just want to tell you, you thought Menachos is exciting? Wait till we get to Chulin. Because we'll say so much of Yaradeh, we're going to see Basar B'chalav, all the halachas, Basar B'chalav, Shechita, all come from Chulin. So we'll say the halacha is that Basar B'chalav only becomes Basar B'chalav when it is cooked together. So for example, if you were to go ahead and take a hamburger and to put a piece of cheese on top of it, right? Of course, Chalav Yisrael cheese. You were to put Chalav, right? You were to put a piece of cheese on top of it, they're both saying, you were to eat it. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Right? It's Aser Midirabanam. That is only Basar B'chalav Midirabanam. Right? Now again, obviously Aser. Let's go on record with that, right? Aser. Unequivocally Aser. But Aser Midirabanam. Why? Because Basar B'chalav D'oraisa, Rabbi says, is only when you cook
milk and meat together. Suppose I saw Reb Shimon says over here that by basar b'chalav, Howard, you look too excited about this. Way too excited about this. Right? So remember, so Reb Shimon says over here that what? He says that basar b'chalav did have a time when it was permitted. When was it permitted, Rabbi Osei? When you put the meat into the milk and it's soaked there. Rabbi Osei, now Rashi happens to say something very interesting. Rashi says, because even if you soaked the meat and the milk there all day it does not become usher. Rabbi Osei, we're going to see, by the way, that that statement of Rashi is not exactly precise. Because there is a concept, ultimately, again, of kavush, that if you soak any solid in a liquid for a certain amount of time, how much time we're going to see is a machlokis in the Gemara, there is a bishul process that occurs. So Rashi just means, when he says kuli yoma, he just means for a long time, that you could place the milk in the meat, or the meat into the milk, and nothing happens. So even Rashim's shita is, in order for a food item ultimately, again, to be makabel tumah, it has to have a point when it was permitted. So basar b'chalav did have a point when it was permitted. So hova sushan's kosher. Ron Rav Asi, Amr Yochanan. My time, Derb Shimon. We'll say what Shimon's logic. He says as follows: Mikola ochel asher yachel. So we'll say, so the pasuk says as follows: Mikola ochel asher yachel. We'll say this is by the pasuk that speaks about tumas ochlin. So the pasuk says: Mikola ochel asher yachel asher yavol of my yitma. So we'll say, what is the type of item, food item, which is mekabel tumah? And the answer is mikol ha'ochel. This is an incredible drasha. Mikol ha'ochel asheyachal. Reb Shimon says the only type of food item that is mekabel tumah has to satisfy the criteria of mikol ha'ochel asher yachel, from the type of food which is eaten. Ochel shata yachal lachil lachil kari ochel. A type of food that you can give to eat to others is called ochel. Ochel shiata yachal lachil lachil. We'll say any type of food item which you can't give to others. We'll say, what type of food item can you give to others? At least a food item that, right? Food item that's consumable. But if it's not consumable, ultimately, again, i.e., it's usr bano. Therefore, again, it will not be makabel tuma. Ay, v'ha pigo b'mincha, nami ochel shiata yochel lachi l'lachi rimhu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, this pigel by mincha, which was the case that we started out before, when the mincha becomes pigel, right, ultimately is a case of food which cannot be fed to anyone else. If it can't be fed to anyone else, therefore what? I.e. is aser bana, therefore it is not mekabel tuma. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi basar b'chalav nami tepokle, the ochel sha'ata yochel lachi l'lachi rimhu. We'll say, ultimately, again, basar b'chalav should also be a case where what? Where halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, I could feed it to others. So the Gemara says, "Disan Reb Shimon Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Reb Shimon Basar B'chalav Asr Ba'achila Umutr Ba'ana." They both say, "Now I'll tell you something very interesting. This is going to be another machlokas we're going to spend some time on in Chulin, which is what is the nature of the Isr of Basar B'chalav." So just point out over here, everyone agrees that what? That it is Asr to go ahead and eat Basar B'chalav. But interestingly, from Shimon Yehuda says it is mutar ba'na, right? We'll say this: there is an opinion who holds that a Jew cannot eat it, but absolutely I can go ahead and give it to my Gentile neighbor, or I can give it to my animal, or I can get any kind of benefit from it that I want. Shneemar ki am kadosh ato l'Hashem Elokecha lo siva shel gidi bechaliv imo. So we'll say the pasuk says by speaking about the prohibition, right? Baser basada. I'm sorry. So the pasuk says, "You are a sanctified nation to Hashem your God. Do not cook the kid in its mother's milk." We'll say, "What's the pasuk right after that?" We'll say the next pasuk. We'll say it's the pasuk by treifa. What's the pasuk by treifa? The pasuk by treifa is an animal that dies without proper shechita. So what's the halacha? We'll say, "What's the halacha with the treifa? What happens if you have an animal carcass? What can you do with it? What can you do with it?" Pretty much anything you want, except what? Except eat it. So we'll say, so there's a juxtaposition, Reb Shimon says, a juxtaposition between basar b'chalav and treifa. Well, say, just as the treifa, you cannot eat it, but you are permitted to get benefit from it. Afkan asr b'achilu mutabana. So we'll say, by basar b'chalav, it is asr b'achilu mutabana. So we'll say, so you see from here that again, according to Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon's logic, Reb Shimon wanted to say that halacha lemaisa basar b'chalav ultimately is mutar ba'ana. Why? Because we'll say, you remember, it's all in Reb Shimon. In Reb Shimon's world, let me see differently. In Reb Shimon's world, when is a food item mekabel tuma? What is a mekabel tuma? When it had a shas hakosher, when it had a time that it was permitted for use. That's based on the pasuk that says, the mikala ochal asher yachel. If the food was consumable or feedable, so to speak, to someone else, then it's mekabel tuma. Shem Shimon said that halacha lemaisa what? Halacha lemaisa, basar bechalav was permitted at some point in time. When was it permitted? When the meat was sitting in the milk before it was cooked together. To which the Gemara says, but one second, I don't understand. But according to Rav Shimon, basar bechalav rabosai ultimately is going to be mekabel tuma for another reason, which is what? In Rav Shimon's model, basar bechalav is mutar ba'ana. So Rav Shimon also says, rabosai, that any food item that is mutar ba'ana is mekabel tuma. If that's the case, who cares that basar bechalav was consumable when the meat was soaking in the milk? It's mutar ba'ana. That's what Rav Shimon would say, that it's mekabel tuma. To which the Gemara says, you're right, chada va'ot ka'amar. Rav Shimon is actually saying two reasons. Number one, basar b'chalav in its original state when the meat is sitting in the milk is consumable. And furthermore, even according to Rav Shimon himself, Rav Osai, again, it had a shas hakosher, and that ultimately, again, it is mutar ba'ano. Good. So makes sense. So Rav Osai, so this, remember, this is all the Gemara just focusing. Now, obviously, we know we don't paskin that way. We paskin that halacha lemaisa, the fact that the Torah repeats the prohibition of lo sevashel gedi bechaliv imo three times, tells us one is an isser bishel, you're not allowed to cook it. One is an isser achila, you can't eat it. And number three is an isser hana, you cannot get any benefits from it. That's how we paskin by basar bechalav. So meisvei, Yuma raised the kasha, Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, yesh no ser shum etami tumas ochlin. There is a type of no ser, Rabosai, which can become tamei tumas ochlin. And Rabbi say there is a no sar which does not become tamei tumas ochlin. What does this mean? Ketzad lon lifnei zrika in a tamei tumas ochlin. Ultimately, again, it will say if the sacrificial item experienced lino, remained past its prescribed window, and you left it sitting even before zrika occurred, Rabbi say, in that case, ultimately, again, it does not become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Why not, Rabbi say? Because remember, before Zrika, Rashi points out, it never had a Shas HaKosher. It was never permitted. Because Zrika is the Matir. If ultimately, again, there was no Zrika, then what? Then the item cannot become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. La'achar Zrika, Tamei Tumas Ochlin. But ultimately, again, if it sat after Zrika, Rabbi say, if it sat after Zrika, then Halacha L'maisa, it can become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. I baha pigol bein bekodshe kadoshe mei mekodshe kalu inu matami tumas ochlin. But I will say by pigol, ultimately again, whether kodshe kadoshim, whether kodshim kalim, ultimately again, it does not become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Pigol b'mincha matami tumas ochlin. But I will say pigol b'mincha, ultimately again, can become Tumas Ochlin, can become Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Lo kasha. So what's happening here? So it's not a contradiction. Kan shayis l'shas hakosher, kan shalo hayis l'shas hakosher. So we'll say one case is talking about where there was a point in time where the meat was permitted. One was a point in time where there was no shas hakosher. So we'll say, what's the case? Heichi dami tilo haisel shas hakosher. We'll say, what's the case ultimately again where it never had a shas hakosher? To which the Gemara says, by menachos, that is, dak tishinu b'mechubar. Ultimately, again, I will say, where what? Where you mekadish the grain while it was still attached to the ground. So if you're mekadish the grain while it was still attached to the ground, then halacha lemaisa said, never had a shas hakosher. I have a lifrakino, so why don't you just redeem it? Rabbi, if you look at Rashi very quickly, lifrakino, kilomar v'ha kodim shekadshu b'kli, yachalif dosan la'ochlen, v'ishkachu levishas kosher, hanich lahach lishna dam rabo shia, temei en niftin toren, en niftin shapir. So what's according to the version our Rav Oshia that says that if it's Tameh, it can be redeemed. But if it's Tari, it can't be redeemed. Then this makes sense. El hach lishna dam rafilu tar niftin lefrakinu. But what's according to the version that says that even if the item is tar, it could still be redeemed. So why not redeem it in this case? V'hashta mi'alo parik. V'cheivan di'iboy parik le. Shami le the Rav Shimon dam rakala omi liftos kif kipadu dam. So we'll say, and if you hold that it can be redeemed, then certainly it should be kadosh. Why? Because, or should be tar, because Rav Shimon holds, Rav say, anything which can be redeemed is considered as if what? It has already been redeemed. V'sanyo. Rav Shimon omer, para mitamet tumas ochlin, hoil v'haisalo shasa kosher. We'll say the para aduma, even though it's Aser Ba'anah now, Rav Shimon holds that it has the ability to be Metamit Tumas Ochlin, that if you were to shecht it, it can be Metamit Tumas Ochlin. Why? Because it had a Shas HaKosher. Because we'll say at the end of the day, it had a time when it was permitted. Vamrei Shlakish, Omer Hayir Rav Shimon, Para Niftis Agabe Ma'arachta. The Para could be redeemed, Rav Shimon, even when it is sitting on, even if it was shechted, right? Shechted in the right way. And it's sitting ultimately on top of the Ma'arachas, it could still be redeemed. Hachi hashta hasa hachi hashta b'shtama para omedes liftosi shematza acheres nohemena mitzvah liftosa. So we'll say paradum is different. Why? Because ultimately, again, if it's built into para that if you found the nicer para, you would automatically substitute the nicer one for the original one. Ela hani menachos mitzvah liftosan. But we'll say ultimately, again, by these other menachos, is there a mitzvah to redeem them? V'halon lifnei zrika the mitzvah the mizrakei. But I will say, if you set it up in the case, as we saw before, that if it's sitting before Zrika, the mitzvah is Zrika, where there is a still mitzvah to do Zrika, vi bai zarak, and if it's one of those Zrika, you have the ability to do so, v'katoni de'in metame tumas ochlin, and also you said before, then, and you said that it does not become tame tumas ochlin, hacham ha'askin, I will say, what's the case over here? Shelo ha'isa shos bayom le'mizrika. But also you have to set up the case as a case where there wasn't enough time to go ahead and do the Zrika. Ava ha'isa lo shos bayom. But I will say, if you had enough time ultimately again to do the Zrika, my taima, what would be the reason? My taima tumas ochlin, adetani lan la'achar Zrika, metami tumas ochlin, liflog bididei. I will say, why don't you go ahead and subdivide the case itself? The Medrash Amurim, when is this true? Shalo haishalo shos bayom, that there wasn't enough time to do the Zrika by day. Aval haisalo shos bayom, aval haisalo shos bayom, metame tumas ochlin. But we'll say if there wasn't enough time during the day, then ultimately again the item should become tame tumas ochlin. Hachi nami kamar. We'll say this is what it means to say. Hachi kamar kamalon, kodem shira lizrika. Rabbi say before ultimately again it is fit for zrika, it does not become tamei tumas ochlin. La'achar shir lizrika mitamei tumas ochlin. Rabbi say ultimately again after it becomes fit for zrika, even if the zrika is not yet done, it becomes tamei tumas ochlin. Rabbi say we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this sugi. Rabbi say suggest you understand now with the Gemara's ending off with. I know we did that last part a little bit quickly. I apologize, but now we're ending off with over here is whether or not again being fit for avoda renders it as if the avoda was done, in which case again it would convey to whether Tumas Ochlin or not. And Meretz Shalom will pick up with that tomorrow. There is a Shiva minion at 7026 Wallace, home of Josh Freeman, who is sitting Shiva for his father. If you could help to make that minion, it would be helpful. That home is at the corner of Bonfield and Wallace. That minion is also starting at 6:45, same time. I'm sorry.